What I'm going to open a discussion on is the cost of living. First of all, what is the cost of living? I mean, basically, it's the amount of food, clothing, housing, travel, and entertainment to live at the standard that the average household can afford. Of course, the average household will be people dependent mainly on their wages. So you can say that the cost of living is the average cost of maintaining the working skills of an average wage earner household, that the cost of living, if you like, as a worker. Well, the media are talking about, I mean, for instance, today's front page of my paper today says more pain coming, 11% inflation. I think it'd be useful to explain how the cost of living is measured, or how increases in the cost of living are measured. I don't know whether Richard Bottrell is here from the Statistical Office, but each month the Statistical Office, the Central Office of Statistics, works out or collects the price of a basket of goods and services that a household typically buy. So this is done each month, and in fact the whole basket is slightly revised every year to take account of changing buying habits and things that people don't buy anymore and things that didn't exist previously. But it's expressed as not as a figure in pounds and pence, but as an index, and the base year for this index, in fact, that's when the index is 100, is 2015. In April this year, the index had risen to 119, which means that it increased by 19%, which is about 2.5% a year. And of course, as I say, people talk about the increase in inflation. But in fact, what is being measured is not inflation properly understood. But what is being measured is an increase in this consumer price index. I think this has become established. I don't think we can change it anymore. We can change people misusing the word socialism. But I mean, to equate a rise in this cost of living index with inflation is misleading, because it obscures the original meaning of the word inflation, and also that there are other reasons why this index can go up, which has nothing to do with currency inflation. I mean, inflation, I mean, as the name suggests, is increasing, inflating the money supply beyond what the economy requires for its transactions. I mean, if this does happen, there will be a general rise in all prices. I mean, all prices will rise basically because what you've done is you've depreciated the money tokens issued by the central government, or more likely by its central bank. But this is not the only reason why the prices in this basket, which is used to calculate the consumer price index, can go up. I mean, prices of individual items in this basket can go up because, for instance, there are supply problems, supply side problems. If pay and demand exceeds expected supply, this will push up the price of the good concerned, which would lead then to an increase in the consumer price index. But it wouldn't be inflation in the original meaning of the term. In fact, in the 12 months up until April. April this year, the index went up by 7.8%, which is considerable acceleration in the average over the preceding 7 years, which is, as I said, is about 2.5% a year. In the press release, which they explained this increase, the Office for National Statistics said this: the largest upward contribution to the annual consumer price index inflation rate in April 2002 came from housing and household services, 2.7 percentage points, principally from electricity, gas, and other fuels, and owner-occupier costs, and transport, 1.47 percentage points, principally from motor fuels and second-hand cars. So what they're saying here is that the index went up as mainly as a result of the continuing rise in the energy element in the basket and the repercussions it has, like on more people wanting to buy secondhand cars rather than buy new cars and more petrol. The prices of other goods and services will have gone up for continuing supply problems due to the restrictions, the COVID restrictions. For instance, you probably haven't felt the full effect of Shanghai having been closed down for weeks, because that's a key port for exporting goods from China. What I'm saying here is that the index went up recently, not because the government had inflated the currency, but because of these supply problems. Of course, you shouldn't. Sometimes the index does go down. For instance, in the summer months, the price of fresh fruit and vegetables goes down because they're in larger supply. But it doesn't go down by very much. But when you think about it, we'd expect the index to go down regularly because as productivity increases and more technical means are used to produce things, you'd expect the cost of producing individual items that go into the basket to go down. In fact, they don't. And the reason for this is that the government has given a mandate to the Bank of England to maintain the increase in the consumer price index at 2% a year. In fact, this is coordinated with the central banks and all the members of the G7 countries, so that one country doesn't get an advantage over another through devaluing its currency. So you can say anyway, obvious. Well, it is 7.5% in April. At least 2% of this is due to classical inflation. Now, when this first started to take off, when it went up to 4 or 5%, the Bank of England issued a report saying, "Well, don't worry about this. It's just temporary, supply problems which will sort themselves out, and eventually, the rise in the index will go down to towards what it should be, towards 2%." But of course, they didn't anticipate the war in Ukraine or the sanctions against Russia. This article in today's paper saying the inflation, as they call it, will go up to 11% later on this year. It's actually Michael Gove saying it. He says it is in quite a big part due to the sanctions against Russia, which is, of course, he actually uses the word pain. People are going to have to suffer more pain. The Bank of England is not so optimistic now. And as I said, they're predicting that the index is going to go even higher than the 7.5% it did in the last 12 months, and will probably be in double digits by the end of the year. So, this is really a cost of living crisis, because what's happening is that the cost of living is going up much faster, and so the level, it's risen above a level at which the average household can afford to live at their previous standard of living. That's the average household, but people below the average things are really in trouble. You've done the reports about energy poverty increasing. Energy poverty is defined as people having to spend 10% of their income heating and electricity and so on. And there have even been cases of people having to choose between eating and heating. So, you know, what can we do about it? Well, we can't expect much from the government. What they've done essentially is to hand out money to people who would otherwise fall right below the official poverty line. But they could have done this by permanently increasing the income support and universal credit levels. But in fact, they're making, you know, one-off payments because they don't want this increase to become permanent. But perhaps, too, they are expecting that the cost of living will fall eventually. But I'm not so sure they are so confident about that. So what can we do? As I said, if you're on benefits, well, you can't do much about it. You just have to accept what the government hands out to you. You don't have to say thank you. You just have to accept it. That's all you can do. But I mean, most people depend for most of their income on working for an employer. Which, of course, what we're doing is selling something too. And normally, you know, wages reflect the cost of living. So if the cost of living goes up, so does the cost of reproducing and maintaining a person's working skills. So this is so we as workers or those of you who are still working, working for an employer, should via your trade unions push for wages to go up. And in fact, there's a quite a good chance of obtaining some satisfaction because of the current labour market conditions. So I mean, I think people will get, should be able to get increases, at least more than the 2% or so that they've been getting in recent years. But it's worth to bear in mind, of course, that what this is doing is not restoring things; it's just stopping things getting worse. Because the media will blame, you know, workers who go on strike. It's already starting with the with the railway workers. They'll blame them for causing inflation and causing the cost of living, the consumer price index to go up. But of course, as I've just said, wages are a price, and they should normally. They will normally go up to some extent anyway if there is an increase in the cost of living. So I'll say this is perfectly doable. And in fact, a lot of people are talking about a wages prices spiral. If you want to talk about a spiral, it would probably more correct title for it would be a prices wages spiral. But of course, this is just a defensive struggle. You know, necessary though it is, it's a defensive struggle that will go on as long as the working for a wage system continues. Of course, the question which they won't be asking on the podium on the platform in Trafalgar Square at the end of this rally is, why is there a cost of living increase in the first place? I mean, you know, why is there a cost of living? Why do people have to pay to live? Because that's what it amounts to saying. I mean, the answer, of course, as we know, is that the means of life are currently monopolized by a tiny minority who live off profits, and this situation obliges the rest of us to work for wages, out of which we have to pay for the things we need to live. So if the means of life, which is the productive resources of society, were owned in common by society as a whole, then we would be able to produce what we needed, and people would be able to have free access to this to live and to enjoy life. Then there would be no cost of living and no struggle to try to keep up with it. So that's the end of my introduction about what is the cost of living and what is the difference between inflation and an increase in the consumer price index. I suppose I'll have to be the chairman of this meeting, but you can ask questions to Stee as well as to me. So if anybody's got any questions or comments, if you put them into the speaking queue.